स्वरूप सनातनारूपा रघुनाथा स्वरूप सनातनारूपा रघुनाथा पट युग श्री जीव प्रभु लोकनाथ दया करो श्री आचार्य प्रभु श्रीनिवास दया करो श्री आचार्य प्रभु श्रीनिवास
प्रभु
श्रीनिवास रामचंद्र संग मांगे नरोत्तम दास रामचंद्र संग मांगे नरोत्तम दास दास श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु दया करो मोरे बिनगे दयालु जगत संसारे हे तुम बिनगे दयालु जगत संसारे हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Nitai, Gauranga, Jaya Nitai, Gauranga, Jaya Nitai, Gauranga, Jaya Gaurahari. Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Kishore, Kishore, Jaya Kishore, Kishore, Jaya Kishore, Kishore, Jaya Kishore, Kishore, Jaya Kishore. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Gaura. Hari Gaur Premanande.
you have. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dadi. Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dadi. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Dandana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Dandana. Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi. Yamuna Tiravana Chadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dadi. Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dadi. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Dandana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Dandana. Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi. Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jayom Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Asta Tarasata Sisi Madhis Divine Grace Sisi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ananta Koti Vaishnavarindaki Granta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gora Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Continuing. Canto 10, chapter 28. Text number 7. Ajanata mama kena mudhena karya vedina anito yam tava pita tad bhavan shantum arhati ajata makha kena mudhena karya vedina anito yam tava pita tad bhavan shantum arhati. Ajanata mama kena mudhena karya vedina anatanyam tava pita tadbhavan shantum arhati. Ajananta mama kena mudhena karya vedina anito yam tava pita tad bhavan kshantam arhati. Ajanata mama kena mudhena karya vedina anito yam tava pita tad bhavan kshantam arhati. Ajananta mama kena mudhena vidina anito yam tava pita tad bhavan kshantum arhati. Ajananta mama kena mudhena karya vedina anito yam tava pita tad bhavan shantum arhati. Ajanata, by one who was ignorant. Mama kena, by my servant. Mudhena, foolish. Akarya vedina, not knowing his proper duty. Anitaha, was brought. I am this person. Tava, your. Pita, father. Tat, that. Bhavan, your good self. Shantum arhati, should please forgive. Translation, your father who is sitting here was brought to me by a foolish, ignorant servant of mine who did not understand his proper duty, therefore please forgive. us. And purport, Srila Prabhupada, the word I am, this one here, clearly indicates that Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj, was present as Varuna was speaking. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states that Varuna had seated Sri Nanda on a jeweled throne and had personally worshipped him out of respect. Technically, Nanda Maharaj was correct in entering the water just before sunrise. The following explanation is given by Srila Jiva Goswami in his commentary on the first verse of this chapter. Here's the explanation, technical. After an especially short Ekadasi, measuring only 18 hours, about 6 hours of the lunar day, in which the fast had to be broken, namely the Dwadasi, had already expired. Before dawn, since at sunrise the proper time for breaking the fast would have passed, Nanda decided to enter the water at an otherwise inauspicious time. Paragraph. Of course, Varuna's servant should have been aware of these technical details, which are meant for strict followers of the Vedic rituals, and above and beyond that, Nanda Maharaj was acting as the Supreme Lord's father and was therefore a most sacred person beyond the touch of insignificant cosmic bureaucrats like the foolish servant of Varuna. Insignificant cosmic bureaucrats. What a way to characterize the demigod. And people don't like us using the word, some people, demigods is demeaning. You know, devatas, okay, but demigods, like, come on. What to speak of insignificant cosmic bureaucrats? Wow. Prabhupada, Kijai. The controversy, we're going to read commentary further, but for just a few things, two things. The controversy has to do with something that I don't understand, but it's explained. So somehow, by the lunar calendar, some days are shorter than 24 hours. And this particular occasion, instead of the lunar day, not solar day, but the lunar day, instead of being 24 hours, was short. And so to break the fast during this juncture between one day and the next day, the fast has to be broken at the proper time. Like, you know, and it varies, as we know, it varies from geographic area to geographic area, but, latitude and longitude and so on. But right there, he knew the rule. He didn't break the rule. He broke the fast during the proper time. And he doesn't say he ate it, something, he just was bathing at a certain time, which was proper, knowing the rule. And there were others with him, and so on. So the other rule over on that side is, you don't break the fast before sunrise. But that lesser rule is superseded by the greater rule. You must break the fast within prescribed time, sunrise or not. So it's lunar calendar rule, not the solar calendar rule. So the servant went by the solar calendar rule. It's a no-no. So he was, I mean, why he took him to Varuna, other than he's the servant of Varuna, that's not clear. And who is he to punish anybody aside? But he did what he did. So then a second point is, there was a question way back when, why didn't Varuna, when he recognized this is Nanda Maharaj, hurry up and return him back to Braja? That would make sense. And we heard at least one commentary, Sanatan Goswami said, it's because he wanted to see Krishna. So he knew if Nanda is there, Krishna will come. Then there's another explanation. That is, Krishna wanted to see Varuna. That's stated. Krishna had, I believe it's today, Krishna wanted to see Varuna and give his mercy to Varuna because he's, you know, a great person. He's a great devotee. So Varuna did what he did or didn't do what he did because Krishna induced that. That's another explanation of why he didn't return. Because he's got Nanda Maharaj on a throne, a jeweled throne, and he's worshiping Nanda Maharaj. So he, like, and he's, as it said in the very beginning of this chapter, his servant is considered foolish. And we'll hear it in the commentaries. Mama Kena Mudha. My fool at Mudha. You know, we know what the word Mudha means because Prabhupada would refer to it a lot. Rascal or foolish. My foolish servant. Foolish, ignorant servant in the translation. So, what to speak of? It was Nanda Maharaj, and you don't do that with it, someone that's so superior. Varuna worshipped Nanda. Okay, commentary. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, Krishna expresses, why are you embarrassing me by praising me like this? Varuna answers, I have really offended you with this mood. He speaks this verse. Quote, that one can enter into the water before the sunrise if a little of the Dwadasi alone remains is permitted by those knowledgeable of bhakti scriptures. One of my servants, not knowing this, took your father away and committed a great offense. The offense of my servant is also my offense. This fool does not know what is to be done. Your father, brought by my servant, is here, pointing with his hands. He showed Nanda seated on a jeweled throne, worshipped by Varuna himself. His father was engaged in remembering his own worshipable deity, Krishna, but his worshipable deity is Narayana. Quote, you are the ocean of forgiveness, but because I'm the ocean of offense, you can punish me suitably if you wish. He's asking to please pardon me, please excuse me. This is slightly different. You can punish me suitably if you wish. Jiva Goswami writes, you should forgive my great offense since my servant was foolish. Quote, if he were so ignorant, how did he know that bathing at night was a fault? Answer, he had knowledge to do what was improper. He did not know it was your father, and moreover was devoid of knowledge of the Lord. Not only he was foolish, but most unintelligent. He knew how to do the wickedest acts. This is your father, Varuna, pointing to his father nearby, kept safely in his house. The commentary keeps saying house. He protected him in his house because he was Krishna's father. It is said in the previous chapter, he will deliver Nanda from the ropes of fear of Varuna. Now that's not the name-giving ceremony that's in chapter 8. This is chapter 7 of Canto 2. Canto 2, chapter 7, text 31. This means that Varuna did not bind him with ropes, but that Krishna freed Nanda from the ropes of fear. You should forgive us for the offense of bringing him here. Quote, but such a great offense cannot be forgiven. But you are most capable. You can forgive him. You are our master. Therefore, it is proper that you forgive the offense of your servant. Now that's Jiva Goswami, whereas Vishwanath was saying, you can punish me as you wish. So, two different takes. Here's Jiva Goswami's Krama Sandarbha. Your father, who is sitting here, was brought to me by a foolish, ignorant servant of mine who did not understand his proper duty. Therefore, please forgive us. And here's some further commentary. It's very detailed. We're reading text 7 of this chapter 28. This is commentary on text 2 of chapter 28. But it's related. The servant of Varuna who arrested Nanda Maharaj is stated here to be an asura or demon, for obvious reasons. First, the servant was foolishly ignorant of Nanda Maharaj's position as the pastime father of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Also, Nanda Maharaj's intention was to carry out the injunction of scripture. Therefore, Varuna's servant should not have arrested Nanda on the technical grounds that he bathed in the Jamuna at an inauspicious time. Later in this chapter, that's this verse, Varuna himself will say, Ajanata mamakena mudhena. This verse. This was done by my ignorant servant who is foolish. This foolish servant did not understand the position of Krishna or Nanda Maharaj or devotional service to the Lord. In conclusion, it is clear that, here it is. In conclusion, it is clear that Lord Krishna wanted to give his personal audience to Varuna and simultaneously accomplish other didactic purposes. What does didactic mean? Diverse. Like that. So, that's all I'm going to read for this morning. It's, you know, we're used to these long-winded commentaries, but I think that's sufficient. Isn't it nice just hearing Krishna's pastimes morning and evening? Doesn't it have a nice effect? Like, hey, that's what our goal is. To remember Krishna, think of Krishna, hear about Krishna, discuss about Krishna, 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 side by side with our chanting of Maha Mantra. the topics of Krishna. This is Bhaktisiddhanta. There's several references like this. We've mentioned it before, but he writes specifically that, or not writes, one of his followers writes that Bhaktisiddhanta would again and again and again certainly make reference to the same verse that we all know so very well. In this age of Kali, the primary means is Harir Nama. And Kirtaniya Sada Hari, chanting of the holy name, is ideally done constantly. And so this disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta said, he referred to these verses again and again and again, but we don't know him for being a kirtanir. We know him for being a speaker of Harikatha. That's his excellence, super excellence. It's fame and notoriety. So he explains, Bhaktisiddhanta gave these teachings. It's not specifically something that he's written, it's within this book compiled by Bhaktivikas Maharaj. So by interviewing his disciples, his statement is that just as we don't worship Krishna without Radha, but always Radha Krishna, so similarly, the chanting of the name must be accompanied by Harikatha, because Harikatha is the Swarup Shakti of Krishna, Shaktiman. So you don't worship them separately. They're together. We've been hearing in these commentaries over and over this terminology, Swarup Shakti, and I'm sure Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very familiar with how our acharyas used this term, because a term can have different meanings, and then the context makes a big difference about which meaning is appropriate. So Swarup Shakti, this is one way of speaking his internal potency, and his Swarup Shakti manifests everything, everything in the spiritual world. Now, there's so many other things to say. Balaram manifests things in the spiritual world, including the spiritual world, by his potency. But it's his own potency, Swarup Shakti, is especially pronounced with Radha, his Ladini Shakti, and all the other dimensions of his Swarup Shakti. That's his how he does what he does through the agency and so many sub-potencies within that category of Swarup Shakti. How many? No limit. How much? No limit. Unlimited, inconceivable potency. So those are found in Harikatha. It's not that they're not found in the name, but there we hear Harikatha side by side with the name as we worship. So Radha with Krishna. So the potencies are unlimited and inconceivable, and we've been hearing specifically in the evening about the childhood pastimes, chapter 8, and there's diverse potencies invested within each of Krishna's pastimes, and those potencies elevate consciousness in specific ways. And to get the complete picture of Krishna, we're to hear the complete picture of Krishna, including, for example, creation, which is very complex, but it's explicitly said that this is one of Krishna's pastimes. And his pastime of creation, we're just recalling to memory what we heard recently, it's done without purpose. that we had some discussion about this in our question answer session, how, you know, there's a purpose to creation. And that purpose of creation is the reciprocation of love with the living entities who are Krishna's parts and parcels, and some want to be in Maya, and so the arrangement is made for Maya, the illusory idea of separate enjoyment. And built within the creation is the corrective measures, including the suffering, including COVID-19 and everything else that goes on in the material world. There's lessons to be imparted through everything. And most people don't see the lesson. Most people don't see Krishna behind it. Most people don't see the mercy of Krishna within that, you know, the hardship of struggling in material existence because of aversion to Krishna. That instead, replacing it is the desire to become an enjoyer. That's unfortunate, because that covers one's perception of Krishna. And the nature of Krishna is, he's very loving. Well, wait a minute. How come people, if he's so loving, why are people suffering? You know, it goes on. Faith in God may be checked when the expectations that God should do like this and that, the other thing, and, you know, bring happiness from sense gratification, it doesn't happen that way. So God's not kind, or he made a mistake, or whatever. God is dead. A life of frustration. So the pastimes of Krishna are variegated, and there's potencies, variegated potencies invested in all those pastimes. So here's one example, back to our chapter 28. Just like a little overview, this 28 comes right after 27. And in 27, it's, what's the topic of 27? Who can remember? Who can remember? 27. Kruninidhi. I can't hear you. Yeah. Indra and Surabhi. It's not Surabhi, it's Surabhi. She's listening to the class. In China, they always say it. If I say Surabhi, because that's how you pronounce her name, people don't know who I'm talking about. If I say Surabhi, oh, Surabhi. That's not her name. Anyway, Hare Krishna. So, yes, that's what's 27. And the astonishment we heard at the beginning of this chapter 28, commentary, that Shukadev Goswami, appreciating how Indra was forgiven, brings to mind Varuna was forgiven. Varuna made an offense, as Indra made an offense. In this case, it's the servant of Varuna, but he's accepting responsibility for his servant's behavior. And Krishna forgives him. We heard Krishna comes in this mood, you know, I'm going to punish him. Then says, well, what's the use of punishing these foolish people? But because of his mood of submission, you know, that mood of punishing subsides and becomes, you know, soft. So this admonishing of Varuna, which we're hearing, it is clear that Krishna wanted to give his personal audience to Varuna and simultaneously accomplish other didactic purposes, diverse purposes. So he's in this mood, and you know, so there's variegatedness in when he comes before Varuna, but his main focus is, where's Nanda? But yes, he's right there. He's seated on a jeweled throne. Krishna is omniscient. He didn't need to have it pointed out. But anyway, it's just varieties of exchanges. And then coming later in this chapter, I mean, the whole chapter is Krishna shows to Mother Yashoda the universe, the universal form within her mouth. So, variegated pastimes. So, this is, no, back to, that was chapter 8. This is 28. This is still admonishing Varuna. And then Krishna is very young, still. And, you know, wait till we get to 29, it's the prelude to the Rasa dance. I guess we're going to discuss these very confidential topics together and see what our acharyas have to say to guide us going through these confidential topics. But so all of the pastimes and all their variegatedness are to draw our attention to, the Bhagavatam is drawing our attention to the absolute truth, that which is the source of everything, Krishna. And Krishna is a loving person with all variety of happiness within him, and his potencies are acting this way, that way, and coming and going and exchanging with his part and parcel living entities, some who have affection, some who have very special affection, some who are a little mixed up, some who are demons, and he's just reciprocating in various interesting ways, loving ways, that may look like partiality, and it may look like so many things. But the essence is his loving nature that inspires a loving mood towards that most lovable person. So I hope you're feeling that as we're hearing all these nice pastimes. That's our purpose. And let's see if there's some discussion from within the room first, and then Paramakruna, you always have something.
So you were discussing that hearing about Krishna's pastime is very nectarian, morning and evening, and it doesn't make any difference to me. I'm feeling nothing because, and I was giving the purport where you reference this purport 2731. And then in translation, Prabhupada writes that here it is clearly mentioned that the inhabitants of Vrindavan were extensively busy in the hard labor of the day's work. And due to the day's hard labor, they were engaged in a sound sleep at night. So, practically, they had very little time to devote to meditation or to other paraphernalia.
Keep going.
So, practically, they had very little time to devote to meditation or to the other paraphernalia of spiritual activities. But, factually, they were engaged in the highest spiritual activities only. Everything done by them was spiritualized because everything was dovetailed in the relationship with Lord Sri Krishna. The central points of activities was Krishna, and such the so-called activities in the material world were saturated with spiritual potency. So my question is that Prabhupada is adding that inhabitants of Vrindavan have very little time to discuss anything about Krishna or doing meditation about Krishna. And practically, how can we understand this situation?
How can what?
We understand this because...
Oh, it's easy. They were constantly absorbed in thought of Krishna. They weren't sitting in a meditation pose. They didn't need to. They had already fulfilled that. by their Krishna consciousness, by their attachment, profound attachment to Krishna, their mind was always with Krishna. That's how we can understand it. He's got a follow-up. Go ahead.
So can we understand this? Because sometimes, not sometimes, 99% time sitting at one place.
Sometimes what?
99% time, not sometimes, like 99% times. When you sit and hear the class, most of the things goes away. So if we engage like in a heavy service, focusing on Krishna, is that service attitude will bring us close to Krishna, or will that service attitude, that hard, intense service, labor attitude, will qualify us to hear the pastime of Krishna?
You're speaking about yourself or you're speaking about them?
I'm speaking about the sadhana bhakti, where sadhakas are involved in service of Krishna.
Well, that's referred to Prabhupada speaking about book distribution. When you're distributing Krishna's book, you naturally think of Krishna. Now, I know many book distributors, they think about salesmanship, not so much thinking about Krishna. But his point in this regard, one time at least, was if you're just interested in salesmanship, there's many other books that people will be far more likely to purchase because it's licentious and sense gratification and whatever, whatever. But we're not interested in those things. We're interested in Krishna's book. So by distributing Krishna's book, naturally we'll think of Krishna. Now back to your question. Supposing someone's engaged in book distribution but isn't thinking explicitly, openly, you know, internally and deeply, Krishna's book. No, it's there somewhere, but it may not be so prominent. So therefore, in the sadhana stage, which is your question, it's not matured yet, but it's the means to reach, it's the sadhana to reach sadhya. It's the means. And there's potency within the sadhana to reach the sadhya, to reach the goal. And so with faith, that's a big factor, how much faith and how much attentiveness we invest as opposed to distractedness that we invest, or the mix of fruitive, you know, passion and ignorance modes, driving instead of the faith in the higher principle. So those are all factors that are operative during the sadhana stage. It can take one to absorption, like the residents of Vrindavan. And therefore, these activities are assigned to us by our founder Acharya and previous Acharyas, because it's purifying. It's part of the sadhana stage, purifying. And now, supposing, you know, your Jiva Goswami, or supposing your Narottam Das Thakur, or one of those that started the, you know, the book distribution effort way back, their experience wasn't the same as yours and mine, distributing books, because their consciousness had become purified. And so their experience was a different experience. It was not just the sadhana stage. It was the ecstatic stage.
So, personally, talking about me, most of the time, my energy goes, or when we are traveling, our energy goes when to go to the next venue, how to fill up the fuel, how to clean the van, how to load the books, how to get on the time, yeah. So is that different from...
Well, yes, because it's for Krishna. Now, the art of work is to do all those things. Supposing you didn't do them for Krishna, you'd be doing those things because you have your psychophysical nature to do things. So this is the connecting that psychophysical nature to Krishna, and it's purifying. Then again, the same answer as before. The degree of absorption in who this is being done for, that's the bhakti principle. For the pleasure of Krishna is the bhakti principle. And you may not be thinking you know, let's say, sometimes it's 10%, sometimes it's 20%, sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. But it's purifying because it's in the line. You're doing those things because it was given to us by our disciplic succession. That's why you're doing those things. You know, here, Timal Krishnamaraj, speaking to Prabhupada, in attempting to open the Bombay temple and get permission from the city, etc., etc. He was not exactly complaining, a little bit complaining, but sharing with Prabhupada, I don't have time to study the books. I know all the codes of the municipality of Bombay backwards and forwards, and I don't have the same absorption in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So I feel, you know, I'm not so comfortable with that. And I don't know what Prabhupada's words were precisely. I don't recall. Maybe Jitendra remembers Prabhupada's reply. But something to the effect that that's also Krishna Katha. Or here's another one. You know, so because it's for Krishna, it's accepted. It's purifying. Although it's not the same because it's connected to Krishna's purifying. Here's another one. Guru Kripa told me this one. When building the guest house and Krishna Balaram Mandir, Prabhupada wanted 300 workers in shifts around the clock. He wanted the building finished. And including the guest house, which was above Prabhupada's quarters. So they asked him, would you like them to stop during the time that you're taking rest? He said, why? He said, that's kirtan. You know, the tap, tap, tap. You know what it's like in a building in India when people are doing construction. It's not soft. It's not melodious. It's not sweet. It's like annoying. And it goes on all the time. Bam, bam, bam. Bam, bam, bam. And 300 guys all night long. It's kirtan. Now that's transcendental vision. I don't have that. But that was Prabhupada's reply. And you know, he wanted it for Krishna. So he's able. So back to what your mind is absorbed in when you're doing your service. You know, whatever, that's your service, and everyone has their services. Absorption in those things, dealing with the material energy, in one sense is a distraction. So let's like not get distracted, let's stay attracted. But in doing those things, it's purifying to the mind and senses that those things are offered to Krishna because you're going to do them anyway because of your psychophysical nature. And even when you're beyond the stage of, okay, working out my psychophysical nature and offering it to Krishna, supposing you're, you know, beyond that stage, like those three that were sent with the books of the Goswamis, and the books were stolen. And they were in anxiety. Got to find the books. We have the service. We don't have the books. So, you know that story. So, things happen even to perfected souls that cause sorting out how to take care of this and that and the other thing. But then it's, for the elevated souls, it's ecstatic. Or let's take Prabhupada, coming to the West and doing what he did in n number of ways. And it's not material. So the consciousness that it's spiritual may be less or more developed, but in principle it's spiritual. Driven by the bhakti principle, that makes the difference. That is done for Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna. So that's the factor that you need to work on. I mean, not just you, we all need to work on the bhakti principle within everything.
Sorry,
Okay. Okay. At the end. Krunaniti, go ahead with your translator.
Sorry.
You're on.
Yes. Maharaj, a technical question.
You're doing what?
One technical question.
Yesterday?
That you can you please explain about again about I could not catch how that 18 hours after Ekadasi you are saying something I could not catch.
Give the microphone to him. I'm not a scholar in astrology. You're like, this much I know. The moon in 27 days moves through different nakshatras. And one of those is Ekadasi. I don't know which nakshatra it moves through, but sometimes it takes longer and sometimes it takes shorter. So the Ekadasi day may be this long or that long, and I don't understand the rule of how it operates. But what is explained here is that particular Ekadasi was not 24 hours. That's a solar calendar, solar measure. The lunar measure was 18 hours, and the day was over. And it's not yet the next day, because there's a little Sunday in between, and he knew he had to observe Ekadasi properly. We say break the fast, but to observe Dwadasi. Before Dwadasi happens, you break Ekadasi. And the rule was it needs to be done within that period of time that he took his bath. That's on a lunar calendar calculation. That's why he did what he did. It was right. He followed the rule. Then the servant of Varuna didn't pay attention to that rule. There's another rule that's subordinate to the first one. And that is, you're not to, before the sun rises, you're not to take your bath on the Dwadasi day. I don't know what that rule is, but that's what the issue was. This said and that said, and he was taking the subordinate rule as the superior rule and admonishing him, kidnapping him, punishing him, bringing him to Varuna. Let him have it. He broke the rule. I can't say more than that because I don't understand the technicality of lunar versus solar days. You have something?
I get a little inquisitive in the past few days about kind of the spiritual culture and sadhana of the demigods. Is there description given? I mean, because we hear even the greatest demigods they get bewildered by avatars of Krishna. And I also thought it was interesting that here, Varuna Dev, he's aware of Krishna's position. Whereas Lord Brahma, Indra, they were baffled. So some unique, mercy that Indra got, he can recognize Krishna from the get-go. Curious if you would like to comment on any of that.
All three are different. Specifically, with Indra, pride. Because of his position, his opulence and power and so forth. Pride. And pride blocks everything. So Krishna wanted to remove his pride. That wasn't the problem with Varuna. And so his understanding of Krishna's position wasn't blocked, at least in the same way or to the same degree as it was with Indra. Now, there may very well be other times when Indra isn't so filled with pride as he was at this time and then at other times. But that tendency is an Indra tendency. It's a tendency for anybody that has opulence and isn't fully pure. So Krishna's kindest, he checks to bring purity to those who are his devotees, dedicated devotees that have some covering. He helps them. And with Brahma, I mean, what can we say about Brahma? He's the original recipient of all the Vedas. He knows all the Vedas. I mean, hear the Brahma Samhita prayers. That was before there was even creation. So how does he, like, slip? One way is, one explanation can be, Krishna just made this arrangement to show Brahma, don't become proud of your opulences. There's so many possible explanations of why that happened with Brahma. The main point that Prabhupada would speak about Brahma is, do not think of him as an ordinary person. That's offensive. So, okay, I'm going to stay away from offensive. Now how do I look at him? He's a very elevated person. And supposing, you know, one option is Krishna just made this arrangement to show Brahma what Brahma was curious about. And a pastime was enacted to do that. Or he wanted, you know, it can be so many. Krishna wanted Brahma to offer very nice prayers for our benefit because Brahma's prayers are really special. Krishna wanted to show that even up to the post of Brahma, he's more inclined to the residents of Braja. I mean, in so many other purposes of why that happened the way that it happened. And one can look at this or that or the other or multiple. And the main outstanding, overriding is, do not think of Brahma as in some material way. Don't think of him as an ordinary entity. He is the post to achieve the post of Brahma is the most exalted post in the universe. So he's the most exalted person. We don't look at exalted persons that way. You know, you can look at Apichat Sudaracharo verse, and you know, we look at him as sadhu. That's how we look at him. And if he gets overwhelmed with a tsunami of something and does some bad activity, we look at him as Krishna looks at him. That's how we regard what happened. However it happened, whatever the cause behind it happening was, or multiple causes. He's very dear to Krishna, and Krishna showed what he showed. And it, you know, it blew his mind. You know, unforgettable experience, we can only imagine. Krishna is the source of everything. So he's showing to Brahma that. So he arranged his pastime so he could show that to Brahma, and that reconfirming his position as the absolute truth, the source of everything, spiritual and material, the source of everything.
I'm sorry for that sound. It must be a speaker problem.
Guru Maharaj, I have two comments. And thank you for facilitating this Karikata, one in the morning, in the night. Like, the world is going to some habituation of cleaning every day 5 to 6 times.
Every day what?
Cleaning their hands 5 to 6 times to keep them clean. And I'm getting habituated hearing one lecture in the evening. I'm thanking for that.
Okay.
And second thing is, by participating in these lectures, there were glimpses and movements in the higher connection to the Harikatha, especially yesterday evening class. So just thank you.
Give her the microphone.
Maharaj, you're explaining about how the experience of the early book distributors...
How what?
The experience of the early book distributors is different than the experience that we have now. Also, I was watching the video that you had shared with my husband.
It's really distracting. Try again until you start speaking again. It'll be quiet, and then it'll start making the noise again. Go ahead. A little louder.
Yeah. So there was this video you had shared with my husband about the early devotees doing an interview. And then I observed the happiness and the enthusiasm the devotees were carrying. So it seems like although they were facing more challenges in the early days of Krishna consciousness, the enthusiasm and happiness and feeling the bliss was so much more higher. So like, how can we sustain the enthusiasm and happiness in service? Because I kind of feel that now it is somehow that the mood is a little different than it used to be.
The main thing that comes to mind is the love that Prabhupada's disciples had for him was over the top, and there was reason for it, but the love that they had for Prabhupada doing something that they knew he liked very much. So it's the two things. That seems to, that my thought, hearing your question, goes to that. The love for Prabhupada was incredible, with good reason. Aside from those that had his intimate association, just having the association of those that had his intimate association was intoxicating. It was like effusive. And then here's something that's pleasing to our founder Acharya, so off they go. Psychophysical nature or not, it's so based on love, and this is something that the object of love wants. There's happiness in service like that. Hardship to the side, challenge and difficulty to the side. I'm thinking of Bhakti Tirtha Swami going into Eastern Europe, risking his life, a black man, in Eastern Europe during, you know, the intense communist era, risking his life, not just like he might get put in jail, risking his life. Why? Was he mad? And the stories are really amazing. And he was always protected. I mean, he described this about himself. It was his nature to always be on the edge. He liked it. It was like there was something about him that he liked it. It was a thrill. But it wasn't foolish. It was his nature and his love for Prabhupada. So, and Prabhupada loved him. And that, you, knowing what the sacrifice was that he was making. Okay. You have something else? Okay.
Maharaj, how can we cultivate such...
How do you cultivate
such attachment and love for our spiritual master?
Well, come on, that's the bhakti process. It's how you do. By hearing and service, you know how to do. Are we okay? Better? We'll see. Okay. Yeah, it's late, so let's do those quickly.
Okay. Prakash Narayan Govindam asks, how do we ensure that hearing Krishna's wonderful and didactic pastimes goes to the sacred space in our heart, and that we receive it as a spirit soul so that it causes a revolution?
This is a how-to question?
Yes.
You know, with faith in the process, that's how to. Give your undivided attention with faith to the process. I'm going to stop because this is too disturbing. Let's see if we can fix the problem for tomorrow. I don't want to continue with like this. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
I'm busy, don't worry about that. I'll use.